The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. Please turn to page 98 of the New Testament in the Korean Bible. It is Luke chapter 6, verse 12 to 16. Allow me to read the words of God. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Amen. Quite a lot of different people with the same name often appear in the Bible. The first person who shares the same name would be Enoch. The names of the two sons of Adam and Eve are Cain and Abel. One day, the brothers brought offerings to the Lord. Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock as an offering. Now, God did not look with favor on Cain and his offering, but looked with favor on Abel and his offering. It seems that Cain has already been living non-righteously in the eyes of God, even before giving his offerings. Later, Cain became the ever-first murderer in humanity by killing his brother and wandered away from home. He then settled in one place, got married, and names his son Enoch, built a city, and also named it Enoch after his son. The name Enoch means to dedicate as well as to start. Cain must have wanted to start a new life with his new family in a new place. However, the Bible does not tell us anything about Cain's son Enoch. After the death of Abel, Adam and Eve gave birth to another son whose name was Seth. Seth's fifth generation descendant is Enoch. The Bible testifies about Enoch as follows. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. This Enoch gave birth to Methuselah at 65 years old, walked faithfully with God 300 years, and then was taken away by God. In other words, he did not experience death and reached to the house of God. According to a writing that I have read in the past, one day God offered Enoch to take a walk with him and walked into a forest. They walked until sun had set and then realized that they had walked too far from Enoch's home. So God asked Enoch, "My house is closer from here than your place. Shall we go to my place?" And so, Enoch was no more. This writing left a deep impression in me. The subheading of Genesis chapter 5 is From Adam to Noah. It writes about the 10 generations from Adam to Noah. Their average lifespan is about 858 years. Excluding Enoch, who has not experienced death, the average becomes 912 years. If we are to compare Enoch's life to the average lifespan, Enoch has lived a very short life. But he has lived a dazzling and envy-worthy life. Enoch son of Cain, and Enoch, the descendant of Seth, may have had the same name, but their lives were not equal. There is another name that was shared between the line of Cain and the line of Seth, and the name was Lamech. The fifth generation descendant of Cain and the fourth generation descendant of Enoch were both named Lamech. The Bible testifies about Lamech as follows. Lamech married two women, one named Adah and the other Zillah. Lamech is the ever first person to break the rule of monogamy. Adah means beautiful, and Zillah means the tingling of the year. Lamech used marriage as means to seek things that look pleasant to the eyes, and for the physical pleasure, when it was supposed to be the way of living as the path to unfold God's will, while a man and a woman became one to practice the love of God. And Lamech said to his two wives as follows. Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, listen to me. Wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged 7 times, then Lamech 77 times. Lamech tells his two wives that he has killed a young man for wounding him, without one bit of shame. It seems that the young man has probably injured Lamech by accident, but Lamech has killed the young man ruthlessly. When Cain has killed his brother Abel, he was pressured by his guilty conscience and said to God that whoever finds me will kill me. But God had mercy on Cain and told him that anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance 7 times over. However, Lamech declared, regardless of God, that anyone who hurts Lamech will be avenged 77 times. This verse, where Lamech talks to his wife, is the very first song of the human in the Bible. The ever first song that a man sang was not a praise to God, but a song to brag about his own arrogance and to justify his revenge. There is not even a bit of a sign of repentance before God. And so, the biblical scholars call this song the Song of the Sword. Such was the life of the descendant of Cain who left God. But there was a different Lamech as well. The seventh generation descendant of Seth and the grandson of Enoch, who has walked together with God for 300 years, was Lamech. Lamech's father was Methuselah, the man who has lived the longest life of 969 years in the history of the Bible. And Noah was Lamech's son. Lamech gave birth to a son and named him Noah, which meant to rest. This does not mean I have gone through so much trouble to bring you up, so you should provide me rest. The name was given so that he may console the people in this world, the people like us, who make efforts and go through troubles on this earth. And thus, Lamech's son Noah has become the second Adam. Just like these cases, Enoch and Enoch, Lamech and Lamech, all shared the same name, but their lives are completely different. In the book of Acts of the New Testament, 3 men named Ananias appear. After Jesus ascended into heaven, and after the Holy Spirit has come down on the Pentecost, the believers at a church in Jerusalem became one in heart and mind to share things with each other. Among those who received great grace, there were those who sold their belongings and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet, and Barnabas was one of them. He sold a field he owned and put the money at the apostles' feet. And among those people who were inspired by him were Ananias and his wife Sapphira. They sold a piece of their property, kept back a part of the money for themselves, and brought the rest and put it at their apostles' feet, pretending like that was everything. Then Peter said to Ananias as follows in Acts chapter 5, verses 3 to 4. Then Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God." After hearing this, Ananias fell down and died on the spot. A bit later, his wife Sapphira died the same way. The couple was wrong, not in that they did not bring every money to the apostles, but because they were foolish enough to believe that they could fool God, even though they claimed to believe in God. They thought that whatever they hid before God, God will not know of it. This is a lesson that tells us that a wrongful view on faith will eventually knock yourself down instead of building yourself up, no matter how much you put effort into it. Saul, who was later called Paul, was on his way to Damascus, which was about 240 kilometers away from Jerusalem, in order to catch and bring any and every man of the Lord, whether it be men or women, to Jerusalem under the letter of the high priest. When he neared Damascus, a bright light from heaven flashed around him. Then a voice was heard, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Saul asked, "Who are you, Lord?" And the voice answered, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Then the voice said, "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Saul got up from the ground and opened his eyes, but could not see anything. And so he was led by other people into Damascus, and for 3 days he could not see, and he did not eat nor drink. A disciple by the name of Ananias was in Damascus, and the Lord called for him so that he may serve as the path to open Saul's eyes. However, Ananias was hesitant to become the path, for he has heard a lot about the notorious Saul. But the Lord told Ananias, his disciple, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel." And so Ananias, the Lord's disciple, became the Lord's path to open Saul's eyes. In Acts chapter 23, a high priest named Ananias makes appearance. The Roman commander who interrogated Paul decided that Paul had not violated any Roman law and handed him over to the Council of Sanhedrin, the highest court and consistory of the Jews. Paul testified before the council that he has fulfilled his duty to God in all good conscience to this day. And to this, the high priest Ananias ordered the men standing near Paul to strike his mouth. It was a great humiliation for the Jewish people to be stricken on the mouth. It was as good as trampling on Paul's character, who has served God according to his religious conscience. It was as good as stating that it's not even worth listening to such a man's words. This high priest Ananias, who was interrogating Paul, served from 48 to 59 AD. According to Flavius Josephus, a historian, Ananias was cruel and tyrannical, and was not hesitant in using violence, hiring assassins, and embezzling tithes, for he was greedy as well. Also, in order to maintain his position as a high priest, he unsparingly bribed the high officials of Rome. His official title may have been a high priest, but in fact, he was an immoral religious hustler who used God to satisfy his own desires. The name Ananias means Yahweh is gracious, God is favored. The three Ananiases all had the same name, and all three have been granted the grace of God. So each became a believer of the Lord, a disciple of the Lord, and serve as a high priest. However, the actual lives of the three Ananiases were completely different. There were those who lived chasing after his own desires, or those who lived according to the secular values, when instead should be obeying to the will of God, for he obsessed over his vested rights. But on the other hand, there were also those who lived obeying to the words of the Lord and became the Lord's pathway, rather than listening to his own thoughts and emotions. Same name, different lives. Jesus selected his apostles who will continue to spread the gospel of the kingdom of God after his ascending into heaven. Among them, there were those whose names were the same. Today's passage testifies who they were. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Peter's original name was Simon, and he was a fisherman. Among the 12 apostles, there was also Simon the Zealot. The word zealot refers to someone who belongs to the group of zealots. They could be compared to the army for national independence during the Japanese colonial period in Joseon. The path of a fisherman and the path of a zealot seems very different. It seems almost impossible for their paths to overlap with each other. But they together walked on the path of disciples, the path of the apostles, within the Lord who will forever be the path. Simon Peter is said to have been persecuted and died a martyr, crucified upside down, during the era of Emperor Nero. If you visit the Roman Vatican City in Italy, there is the St. Peter's Basilica. It is said that it was named so because it is the burial site of Simon Peter. Also, Simon the Zealot is said to have died a martyr after spreading the gospel of the kingdom of God from Egypt to Persia. He was said to have been hung upside down on a pillar, cut down from the crotch to head with a saw. The two Simons walked together on the path to the kingdom of God. Among the 12 apostles of Jesus, there were two Jameses as well. James, son of Zebedee, and James, son of Alphaeus. James, son of Zebedee, had a fiery temper, as to have been called the Sons of Thunder, and was extremely ambitious as to ask for the best position if Jesus was to take on the throne in Jerusalem. But God took him as the first sacrifice of martyrdom out of the 12 apostles. The reason why Herod Agrippa chose James as the sacrifice of martyrdom in order to win favor of the Jews in 44 AD was probably because James's role or activities caught attention. After the ascending of Jesus, James lived as the pathway to spread the gospel of the kingdom of God with all his heart, more than any other apostles. Also, the apostle who was known by his name and nothing else, James, son of Alphaeus, is said to have died a martyr with a saw in Spain. The two Jameses also walked the path of spreading the gospel of God's kingdom, all the way to the end within the Lord, who is the path of eternal life. Among the 12 apostles of Jesus, there were two Judases. They were Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot. We are going to look into them today. According to William Barclay of Scotland, one of the most representative biblicists of the 20th century, the four people in the third group of Jesus' apostles, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, were all zealots. We have already talked about the fact last week that Simon was a zealot. It is said that there are quite a number of evidences that show that Judas, son of James, was also a zealot. Among the several sects of Jews during the time of Jesus was the Zealots. They were considered the fourth sect along with the Pharisaism, which was based on legalism, Sadducism, the actualists, and Essenes, the Stoics. When it came to the commandments, they were more extreme about it than the Pharisees. They firmly believed that regaining back their country, even if it meant using violent means, was the way to constructing the kingdom of God like in the days of King David. In the biblical sense, the start of the Zealots is believed to have been by priest Phinehas, who appears in Numbers chapter 25. When the Israelites were staying at Shittim after the Exodus, the men indulged in sexual immorality with Moabite women and served their god. At this time, a plague was started against the Israelites. The plague only stopped after Phinehas, the priest, killed the Israelite man and the Midianite woman with a spear for the love of God. But already, 24,000 people have died due to the plague. Also, the historical origin of the Zealots is based on the Maccabean revolt. After Alexander the Great died at the early age of 33 in 323 BC, his massive empire was divided by the three generals that served him. Seleucus Nicator took control over the Middle East. He named his new empire Seleucid Empire after his name, and the Jews were under the rule of this empire. In particular, during the mid-2nd century BC, the religious persecution of Antiochus IV was at its extremes. He established the statue of Zeus in the Temple of Jerusalem, made the people worship it, forbid them to keep the festivals and Sabbath, and even forbid them from doing circumcision and reading the Bible. Even worse, he committed prostitution inside the temple, calling it the sacred prostitution. Around this time, Judas Maccabeus reclaimed back the Temple of Jerusalem when he was the leader. The festival that celebrates this time is a feast of dedication in John chapter 10. The Zealots have once built up their strength to take back Jerusalem, but Jerusalem was destroyed by the Roman general Titus in 70 AD. those of zealots who have managed to survive till the very end. All 960 of them took their own lives the day before the before Masada, their last fortress, was taken down in year 74. Since then, the Jews had to live without country for almost 1900 years until Israel declared independence in 1948. Among the third group of Jesus' apostles, if all four apostles, James son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas son of James, and Judas Iscariot, were all zealots, the reason why Jesus chose them as his apostles probably may have been to turn their eyes from the country toward the kingdom of God. Judas, son of James, was called Trinomius, meaning man with three names, by the people of the early church. In the book of Luke, he is called Judas, son of James. But in the list of Jesus' 12 apostles in Matthew and Mark, he is called Thaddeus. He was also called Lebius, which meant endearing, or man of heart. So in some English Bibles, it is often translated as Lebius, who was surnamed Thaddeus. The name Judas was a very commonly used name by the people of the time, and a name that people took pride in. As we have looked into earlier, the leader of the Maccabean Revolt was also named Judas. Just like Thomas and James, son of Alphaeus, it is not shown in the Bible of how Judas Thaddeus became to follow after Jesus. Scholars often assume that because Judas was originally a zealot, when he saw Jesus come up to the Temple of Jerusalem in the early days of his public life, kicked out the men who sold cows, sheep, and pigeons as offerings, as well as flipping the tables of the money changers, saying, "Stop turning my father's house into a market," that made him follow after Jesus. At the time, the merchants that sold animals for offerings and the money changers at the temple had close connections with the priests of the temple. The priests guaranteed the convenience and benefits of the merchants and gained a fixed share of the profits. With such a food chain in mind, the acts of Jesus kicking out those men and turning the tables over were an extreme act of swinging the sword of Reformation. Furthermore, when the zealots saw Jesus taking deep interest in the sick and the poor, showing compassion to them, they must have thought that such a man may be the very Messiah that we have been waiting for. There's only one incident in the book of John in which Judas Thaddeus made appearance in. Before the crucifixion, Jesus gave a long farewell sermon to his disciples. During the sermon, Peter, Thomas, and Philip asked the questions they have been wondering about, and Judas Thaddeus also joined to throw a question. John chapter 14, verse 22. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" In Judas's mind, Jesus is definitely the Messiah, and he definitely possesses the power to change the world. So, how can Jesus expose such power to the disciples but not to the world? He questioned out of frustration. In other words, he was saying, "Lord, is this not the time to reveal that you were the Messiah? Should you not show your power and drive out the Romans right away? Why do you keep telling us that you will be leaving?" And to this question, Jesus replied as follows in John chapter 14, verses 23 and 24. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." Jesus' reply was telling Judas, "Judas, you think wrong. My kingdom is not made out of sword and spear, but with love. This can only be passed down through the love and through the cross. Your desire for your nation must be changed to the desire for the kingdom of God. You may not be able to understand this now, but you will eventually get to understand." After being filled with the Holy Spirit on the Pentecost, Judas Thaddeus is said to have died a martyr by being struck by arrows while spreading the gospel of Kingdom of God at the Mesopotamia area in the Euphrates region. Just as Jesus said, Judas came to live for the Kingdom of God instead of the secular world. Next will be about Judas Iscariot. We will share about Judas Iscariot more precisely next week. The name Judas was a trendy name during the time of Jesus, and was a very good name. And so, there were two men named Judas among the 12 apostles of Jesus, and one of Jesus' brothers was also named Judas. Not only that, Saul, who was blinded on his way to Damascus, stayed at a house of a man named Judas. However, the name Judas became the perfect epitome for traitor after Judas Iscariot's betrayal. Have you, by any chance, met any foreigner friends who was named Judas? Probably not. The hymn number 463 is called "Lord, I Want to Be a Christian." This hymn is now consisted of four verses. The first verse, "Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart." The second verse, "Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart." The third verse, "Lord, I want to be more holy in my heart." And the fourth verse, "Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart." But the same hymn that was used up until the early 1980s contained five verses. But the Korean church deleted the fifth verse while collecting and merging the many versions of the hymn. If we see the English verse of the hymn, it is as follows. "I don't want to be like Judas, in my heart, in my heart." It seems that it was considered inappropriate to include a name of a man such as Judas. As such, the name Judas has become an epitome for a loathsome name. The starting point of the two Judases, the last two out of the 12 apostles of Jesus, was the same. They were both called upon by the Lord and were both included as the 12 apostles. Moreover, the two shared the same name. However, their lives were not the same, and their results were not the same. While one Judas walked on the path of eternal life as the Lord's apostle, the other Judas walked on the path as a traitor and walked on his own path. We all each have a name. These names contain good meanings. But even if we have such a good name with a good meaning, this does not make us righteous. Also, people with the same names how many people use the same name in this world. It does not make us valuable. Because what makes us who we are, what makes us righteous, is not our names, but our lives. In other words, the value of the names that we possess is not made by our names itself, but our lives that we live. Also, we also possess a common name, that is Christian. The reason why we are being pointed at, because the Lord's name has fallen to the ground and church is considered unchurch-like, it is because we do not live up to the name as Christians. My dear loving fellow believers, the Lord has called us as Christians and as his apostles. If you do believe in this fact, let us lift up our eyes, make the Lord our purposes, and live as Christians and the apostles of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, there are quite a few people who were given the same name in the Bible. But we have found that having a same name does not mean living a same life. Please allow us to live like Enoch and Lamech, the descendants of Seth, not those of Cain. Also, let us live like Ananias, the disciple who put his thoughts below the will of the Lord and obeyed to the words of the Lord, rather than to live like Ananias's, who thought he could fool God, grasping onto his own desires, or the high priest Ananias, who did not let go of his religious establishment. Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot shared the same name, received the same calling, and they both became the apostles, but their lives and their ends were never the same. Let us not forget that our names or its meanings do not make up the value of our names, but it is rather our lives that determine the value of our names. We pray that we do not forget the common name called Christian that we have earned by believing and following after the Lord. May we live true to the name of Christian during this era when the name of the Lord has fallen to the ground and the churches are considered unchurch-like. Let us be reminded once again that living as Christians and the apostles of the Lord is the most valuable way to live. We give this prayer of offering in the name of Jesus. Amen.